Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Thanksgiving edition of...
Another Thanksgiving edition?
I did a show last year on Tom Deaf Radio.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth. We are going to start off with some tunes. And as it's Thanksgiving, we thought we'd start off with this.
What's the matter, big brother?
Nothing. I was just checking the mailbox.
What did you expect? A turkey card?
Holidays always depress me.
I know what you mean. I went down to buy a turkey tree. And all they have are things for Christmas.
For Christmas? Already?
Anyway, why should I give thanks on Thanksgiving? What have I got to be thankful for? All it does is make more work for us at school. Do you know what we have to do now? We have to write an essay on Stanley Miles.
You mean Miles Standish?
I can't keep track of all those people.
What's all the commotion?
We've got another holiday to worry about. It seems Thanksgiving Day is upon us.
I haven't even finished eating all my Halloween candy!
Sally, Thanksgiving is a very important holiday. Ours was the first country in the world to make a national holiday to give thanks.
Isn't he the cutest thing?
What are you going to do on Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown?
My mother and dad and Sally and I are all going over to my grandmother's for dinner.
Why don't you come along, Linus? We can hold hands under the table.
We are back. I'm just going to play a little song. And this one, as I told people earlier, we are going to go through some songs and little setbacks about my life and why certain songs mean something to me. Now, I put up a message earlier asking for songs, and for some reason, a bunch of the songs that I downloaded didn't save, and I can't find them anywhere. They're missing from the computer. But the one that did was one that my mum requested for her and my auntie, and they are the two most important women in my life. They are my world, and them being identical twins, I pretty much grew up with two mums. So this one's for them at the request of my mom.
Well, you can swing it, you can groove it, you can really start to move it.
And we are back. You'll have to excuse if Blog Talk is a bit spotty this evening.
Yeah, I have problems with it this past Monday, too.
So yeah, there's some, like, major issues, and I don't know what is causing it. I don't know if it's our internet or if it's Blog Talk Radio itself. But either way, the Milwaukee Bucks are beating Washington right now, 81-82. Basketball, for those of you who don't know, yes, it's going to be in the background, and I apologize if all of a sudden we break out into cheering or cussing. But anywho, so as I say, that was dedicated to my mom, who I love, deeply wonderful woman. She's a great woman. And so what I thought I would then do is, like, play you another song. Now, my mom is a really huge Simon and Garfunkel fan. She has been since I was little. She used to play their music all the time, and I mean all the time. And she always said that the song Mother and Child Reunion was mine and hers song. And I just used to laugh it off when I was younger and all this lot. But as I got older and I left home and moved away, and then especially when I moved from England to the States, which will be like 15 years ago this June coming up, the song actually means more. We kind of like bug each other with it leading up to her visiting and everything. So this is, so you understand, this is mine and my mom's song, and I will play it for you now. With a little bit of music and a little bit about me and my mom, who, those of you who remember when they came over in the summer, we had the countdown to when they came over, and for me, it's always the best time when my parents are in town. I do miss them so, so much, but I'm so glad for things like Skype and Facebook, because I can Skype my parents pretty much every day if I choose to. I chat with my mom on Facebook every day, and we stay in touch. And the beauty part of that is that Robert's actually so close to my parents. He really is really, really close to them. And that, to me, is a great thing. That is where the internet and technology works at its best, when it keeps us close together and keeps families in touch. When, you know, there are so many times when families would drift apart, and so that is a sad thing when that happens. So I am blessed for that. Now, I thought I'd take you back further in time to a time frame where life was wonderful. I was 16 years old when these two albums actually came out. I was in college in England. For those of you who don't know, you graduate at 16. Well, now it's, they've upped it to 18, but when I was there, you graduated at 16. So I started college literally about a month before my 17th birthday. And these two albums came out round about between when I was 16 and 17 years old. I was a huge Guns N' Roses fan ever since GNR Live came out, then Appetite for Destruction, and the following two albums were Use Your Illusions 1 and Use Your Illusions 2. They were released simultaneously. The reason there was two albums is because the record company said that there were too many songs to be on one album, and the members of Guns N' Roses decided that there was no way that they were going to choose which songs to not release, so they decided just to release the two albums. For me, it was awesome because then Guns N' Roses went on tour. What?
Yeah, they released the two albums at the same time.
Yeah, simultaneous release. Use Your Illusions 1 and Use Your Illusions 2.
What did it do, a double album?
They weren't, it was a double album. It was it was four albums altogether.
Oh, wow.
It was two single, it was two double albums. That's the whole point. The record companies wanted them to make it into one album, and they refused. They had so much material that they thought was good enough for the album that they actually released two double albums for it.
Oh, wow.
Now you can just get it on two CDs, but hey. But no, this actually prompted them. They actually had the Use Your Illusions World Tour, which was out of this world. I will tell you now, I lost my ever-loving mind and ended up in hospital. This is the reason why. summer of 1992, they went on tour. They were in London. My friend Zoe got tickets, and I went along with her. She had a spare ticket. We were about 10th row back, so they were really good seats. You could see literally right up by the stage. Those of you who've been to Wembley Stadium, it's an outdoor stadium. There's two places in Wembley. There's Wembley Arena, which is enclosed, and Wembley Stadium, which is outdoors. Well, the concert was at Wembley Stadium. It was, it was August, hotter than anything. There was no breeze, nothing. And we were in there. I was wearing my Guns N' Roses tank top, and I got so sunburned. At one point, Axl Rose, for those of you who don't know, he's the lead singer of Guns N' Roses, stopped the concert and asked the fire department who were there to turn their water hoses on the crowd because it was that hot. So the fire department did, but instead of aiming the hose at the crowd, which would have probably half killed us all, they aimed it up in the air so it came down like rain. But I ended up with these horrible, horrible blisters. And they were at the point where when I got home, I actually went to the hospital and was treated for severe dehydration and third degree burns. And I just, it was painful, but it was wonderful. Now, one of my favorite songs from their album was called Estranged. And it's a long song. It's nearly 10 minutes long. And the video for it is very surreal, very weird. But it was just, it was just wonderful. It was just really, really wonderful. It's, you know, I loved every minute of it. I had so much fun. But it wasn't the first concert that, actually, yes, it was. It was one of my first concerts I went to by myself. The other ones I went to were all ones that I went with family and everything. But the rest were just absolutely amazing. It was so much fun. This one, as I say, apart from the sunburn and the blisters were huge. The blisters I had were absolutely huge. I had blisters on my cheeks as well and down my nose. My ears were really badly sunburned. But I wouldn't, as much as painful as it was, I wouldn't change that for the world. It was so, so good. So I'm actually going to play Estranged for you. It is, as I say, it's a long song. It's 10 minutes long, but it is one of my favorites ever, 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 ever of Guns N' Roses. Now, I know they did a lot. They're best known for Paradise City, Sweet Child of Mine, Don't Cry, among others. They've done loads of songs for different soundtracks. You Could Be Mine was part of Terminator 2. They are a big Guns N' Roses fan. I am huge. I love them. I love them, love them, love them, love them, love them. Would love to see them again, but now the lineup's completely changed. I doubt that will happen. But I'm going to play Estranged for you, and I will be back shortly.
When you're talking to yourself, we'll be right back.
Told you guys it was a long one. But hey, that's from my teenage years. That was me in the prime. I was a little bit goth as well. I had the black hair, the black clothes, the white face, black makeup, everything. And I actually changed all that when I finished college, and I applied for several jobs and I wasn't getting them. And a lot of it was because of the way I looked, which is sadly shouldn't have been the case. It should have gone on my education and my skills, but what can you do? So I actually slowly started changing my look, and kept some of the goth look in it, and I still like a lot of the goth look now, but more toned down. And I ended up working at a mental health facility. I worked on the acute ward, which was the ones that dealt with prison level psychiatric patients. This is where the likes of Jeffrey Dahmer, where Scott Peterson, the guy who killed Lacey Peterson, would have gone to. And it was absolutely, loved every minute of it. I enjoyed working there. At the time, my mom and my now ex-husband were scared for me. They thought that it was too dangerous, that I shouldn't work at that level. But it was something that I actually really, really enjoyed. Yeah, you had to be on your guard all the time, and I mean all the time, because you turn your back for a minute, and you will have incidents happen. I did actually get involved in an incident that I should have been more aware of when we had somebody who came in who was on trial for multiple rapes, and he would psych you out. He really was, you could understand why he was in a psych hospital, but he was using an insanity plea to get off what he had done. And he would watch you down. He knew your triggers. He knew what could be done to put you in situations where you weren't safe. And I unfortunately got into one of those situations that ended up with a very, very dangerous and brutal thing happen, which I won't go into right now because we're trying to keep this show on an upbeat, you know, note. But it was something that, you know, was very harsh and very painful to deal with, and I still have some scars from that. But, you know, I loved every minute of it. I really did. It was such a great place to work. And as I say, I just loved it. I can't say anything more about it. Now, during this time, was when somebody who was instrumental in my bringing me up passed away, and that was my grandma. I refer to her as my nan. We lived with my nan when I was born until I was about 6 or 7 years old when my mom met my stepdad and we moved in with him. But we only lived about half a block away from her, so I was always at her house still. And she, as I say, she was instrumental in me growing up. That woman could cook. I swear to you, you could go to her house and you'd be like, I'm hungry. And she'll say, well, let me whip you up something, knowing full well that all she had was a potato, a piece of cheese, and a bag of flour, and you'd come out with a three-course meal fit for a king. But that was the thing. That was my nana. She was an amazing woman. She was so talented and had such a big heart as well. When we left her home, when we moved in with my stepdad, she ended up fostering children, and she had a lot of kids who came through her door. And what she would do is she was what they called a short stay foster mom, which basically meant that she looked after them while parents were getting back on their feet or before they were adopted. And the little kids that she had, oh, they were adorable. They were so gorgeous. And for the ones who were going to be adopted, she would make photo albums for them of their time while they were with her. So from the time she had them through to when they left, they would leave with photo albums of themselves, which I'm sure a lot of adopted or foster kids can actually attest to the fact that chunks of their lives that there aren't photos of, but she would always make sure that there were photos for them. We were never in those photos that she sent with them because, you know, it was down to the adoptive parents to say whether these children were adopted or not. But they would be like Christmases, birthdays, taking first steps. Everything that you have photos of your kids, she would do and put these beautiful photo albums together. And she was just amazing. Christmases were wonderful. Everybody would end up at her house on Christmas Day in the morning. We'd go up there and she would have an array of cakes and food and drinks and stuff, and that was just Christmas tradition. We all ended up there. We all ended up having a good time, and because of how close we were, I used to spend a lot more time up there Christmas Day, and we'd watch some shows together or a movie or something, and I loved it. I miss those days so much. I miss her warmth and everything. And it was 6 months. Actually, no, tell a lie. It was 9 months after I got married that she passed away. We'd been trying to get hold of her because Fridays when I finished work, I would meet my grandma up at the local grocery store, very similar to like Walmart or a Pick and Save. And we would go shopping, and they had a little cafe right next to the store, and we'd go in there, and they would do a pick 10 menu, which was you could pick any 10 items, breakfast items off the menu for, in dollars, it would be now around about $6, and we would share it. So we would order toast and eggs and sausage and bacon and all the trimmings and everything, and we'd sit there and share it with a pot of tea. So this particular morning, I called and couldn't get hold of her. But she would sometimes go out shopping early herself, go pay her newspaper bill and go to a little corner store where we kept trying to get a hold of her and know that. And I tried calling my mom and I couldn't get hold of my mom. When I called her at work, they were saying she hadn't come in yet. And I tried calling my aunt and my aunt was at work and I couldn't get hold of my aunt. And I just knew something was wrong. So I kept trying and at about 9 o'clock in the morning, my nan's neighbor answered the phone. And my nan would sometimes put on silly voices on the phone. So I was like, you know, hi, Nan, it's me. You're going to meet me at Sainsbury's today? My nan's neighbor was like, it's not your nan. She's gone. And I'm like, stop messing around. I know that you're lying. And she said, no, she's gone, Hazel. She's gone. And I just didn't believe it. And in the end, my nan's neighbor just screamed down the phone, Hazel, what don't you understand? She's dead. And I just remember screaming at the top of my lungs. I just didn't want to believe it. I couldn't believe that my nan, one of the women who had raised me, was gone. I eventually managed to then get hold of my mom and get hold of my aunt. I was married at the time, so I called my husband, and he managed to come home from work. My two cousins were working in the same town I lived in, so they came to my house because we were all going to be picked up and taken to my nan's. And that whole week was just so surreal. I miss her so much. I know that through everything that I've been through, she would have been the first one on an airplane over here and would have done everything she could. So this was played at her funeral. So I'm going to play this now because it does mean a lot to me. And this is for all of us who have lost our grandmas, because no one can hold a torch to us like a grandma can. 95 onwards, I beg your pardon. So basically after, like, as I told you before, I was married, not to a very particularly nice person. And, you know, so a lot of things changed in my life. I was so used to being able to rely on my nan and go to her when things got rough, and that was all of a sudden taken away. And there were a lot of turmoil and everything. And back to being with my mom is the fact that she would always, and I mean always, play this next song and say to me, you know, you've always got me no matter where you are in the world, no matter what you're doing, no matter what trouble you may get into or how bad you think it is, I'm always here for you. And so when Matthew died as well, she sent me this song, and I had it on Maddie's memory today. She sent me this song. I played it a lot, actually, today. It brought back some really good memories, the sad ones as well. And it's also a message to my friends out there who, no matter how lonely you are, no matter if you feel like you're alone, I'm always there for you. So I'm going to play this for all of you and for all of us.
Feeling small.
Okay, we are back. So, as I say, that was one song that my mom always used to send to me when things got really, really rough and everything. But you know what? I think we need to bring it up a notch. I think we need to get this show back on a Hazel level of awesomeness and sparkles.
We're going to talk about unicorns?
Nope. But we are going to play something that is very, very me, that I love, that I was jamming out to all day. So I'm going to play this, and then when I come back, we shall be even more annoying loud, and we can have some views on the recent Bucks game, including the cusses.
Hey, girl, you coming to me. Hey, girl, you coming to me. Hey, girl.
Okay, we are back. Let's turn it down a little bit. So, Bucks are playing like crap, have been playing like crap, are playing like crap, despite the fact that I love the Bucks, they are crap. Opinions, AJ?
11 straight loss in a row.
So could we go back to my first thing? They're playing like crap.
Their coach needs to do better.
Well, and the thing is that at least today they took it to overtime, mm-hmm. and they blew it in overtime.
Right.
But, are those strawberries taste weird? Hey, Jason, don't spit it in the bowl.
Hey, what?
Because you've got a whole, excuse me, people, you've got a whole bowl of strawberries there.
Okay.
Let
okay.
AJ try them.
Okay.
So anyway, ooh. 11 straight losses. What's wrong with them?
Not sweet.
They need more sugar added to them? Go put some sugar on them then.
Oh.
Yeah, it will. Put some sugar on them and let them stand for a bit. But anyway, so they've had 11 straight losses.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, at least they took it to overtime tonight, which is a start. But no one seems to be doing anything to rejuvenate them. The coach put out a press release saying he apologizes to the fans and all of this lot. But he's the coach. He's got to do something.
His coaching right now is horrible.
His job's on the line, seriously.
Exactly. It's like, why would you put somebody and have a player that goes all crazy in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm.
We probably wouldn't be in part of this mess.
Right.
Yeah, I'm referring to Brandon Knight going all so crazy, trying to speed ahead and try to go again in layups and stuff. This is like, really.
But it's bad. That's the whole thing. It's like, it's really bad.
Right, and they got assistant coaches like Nick Van Exel and Scott Williams. Like, they got to say something.
They've got to. And the fact is, I say, he is going to end up losing his job if, you know, something isn't done soon.
Our local team is still trying to look for their identity. But I already see it. And plus, they didn't play Caron Butler in the fourth quarter either.
Right.
Or overtime. That was another mistake.
I agree. So we're going to come back to the subject and other ones after a short break. And this is a song. There is another one from After I Met You, AJ, that I absolutely love. And it's what the coach of the Bucks should do, but I think personally it's too late to do this.
I'm holding on your rope, got me 10 feet off the ground. I'm hearing what you say, but I just can't make you sound. You tell me that you need me, then you go and cut me down. But wait, you tell me that you're sorry, didn't think I'd turn around. You say, we'll
Okay, I am back. Oh, I had to run there. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, you ran like it was no
other business. I did. I was like, run my little legs off. But anyway.
You ran so fast,
you
probably run faster than the dogs.
No, I don't go that far. Bounce faster.
You probably could be more faster than him.
No. I ain't that fast.
I'll get people's attention.
I'm slow as anything. I'll bounce. I'll run. I'll bounce. And then I trip over my boobs, that kind of thing. Where's my Kindle, by the way? Okay. But anyway. So yeah, that was actually a song that actually reminds me of somebody in my life who I'm not going to mention.
No. Why?
Because all they ever did was apologize for everything they kept doing. Dre.
Oh.
No, not Dawn. I know that
no,
you were thinking. No.
I wasn't even thinking of her.
But no, Dre, every time you would like do something or upset me, you'd like call up and apologize and apologize. And it was like, it got to the point where, as you say, it is too late to apologize. There's only so much you can take before, you know, apologies don't mean anything. You have to back it up with actions and stuff. So, but anywho, I think I'm going to have to play another song because I'm in the middle of making Jell-O. And the dog is eyeing the table, so I'm kind of concerned about it. So I think we have to whistle. So you think we should whistle? Can you whistle? Can I whistle? Can you whistle? Okay, so we're going to get instructions on how to do that right now.
Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together, and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, here we go. And I'm betting you like girls, to give love to girls and stroke your little ego. I bet you I'm guilty, your honor. That's just how we live in my genre. Who in the hell done paved the road wider? There's only one blow and one rider. I'm a damn shame, order more champagne, pull a damn hamstring, trying to put it on ya. Let your lips spin back around, come up. Slow it down, baby, take a little longer. My whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it. We'll be right back.
We are back. Did you learn how to whistle from that?
I think everybody does.
Hi. You made it.
So.
Oh, yeah. Back to the lecture at hand. I know they want to focus on, because like how today's teams, they focus on the young, which is one thing. I think that they might have one of the youngest. I think they won the youngest teams in the NBA. And I think that's, in a way, it's a good thing, in a way, it's a bad thing. But they really need to do something.
Personally, I think that they need to have kept a couple of their veterans, so to speak, on the team, and that the fact is they don't have any older guys who have played longer. It is all young guys. They have no team chemistry at all.
Right. They do have a few, but not, like, enough.
They haven't got anybody you can carry it. And that's the thing. And they cannot play well under pressure. That's going into overtime proved that. But that's a typical Bucks. They feel like that's it forever. When it comes to fourth quarter or comes to being under pressure, they just flake.
The general manager needs to step up and say something.
They got to do something because it's getting beyond a joke. It really is. Let's be perfectly honest.
Exactly.
But,
not on the thing about giving up on them, but they need to change it around.
They do.
And soon. It's about to be the end of November, and they're kind of like a bad record.
They're like 2-12?
Yeah, sooner or later, they're probably going to be the lowest team in the NBA. They probably is probably at the lowest team in the NBA. I got to look into that.
You'll probably do better than the Bucks are doing right now. But anyway, we got Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually having a quiet day.
Quiet day? Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Quiet day.
We're
going to get
fat. Y'all is.
I'm doing you dinner stuff when we come back, so don't even go this day. You is.
What's wrong with you?
I got meat out, thawed out, a nice beef roast. Robert's going to do his homemade mashed potatoes.
I didn't say nothing was wrong with that.
You acted like you ain't going to get fed. What am I doing now? Making jello. Yeah.
I would if I could.
How would I teach you?
No.
I teach my own
jello. We tried last time and I nearly poisoned everybody.
No, you nearly burnt the house down making eggs.
And when I tried to make that chicken for your birthday?
Oh, God, yeah, it was undercooked.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you acted like I ain't going to feed you tomorrow just because I'm going out.
That.
Yeah, it was.
I always
feed you. What did I feed you for dinner today? Oh, never. This is a public health warning. Never buy Velveeta cheesy potatoes. They were the most disgusting cheesy mashed potatoes ever. They did not taste nice. They did not taste potato-y. It tasted like flour with cheese. They were disgusting. So I really recommend nobody ever buys them. Well, my kettle is about to boil, which means I can make a cup of tea for myself and do the jello. So I'm going to get that done. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to play a song.
Yeah, because these dogs need to go out.
So you do that. I'm going to
yeah,
play a song that actually reminds me of AJ.
No, you're
not. So I'm going to play that for everyone.
Sweet like cotton candy.
That don't mean you gotta stop dancing, cause the way you move is so demanding.
My love. Let's put it on cruise control. Let me take it to the crib. Let me ease your soul.
I'm gonna take it nice and slow.
But first, let me talk to her.
Thank you.
And we are back, and I'm eating pecan pie and caramel ice cream. Mainly because I think I'm the only one in this house who likes pecan pie.
I just don't like them nuts.
AJ doesn't like the nuts. Robert, do you like pecan pie? Yep, then. Cool for me. Nom, 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 nom. But anyway. It was routine. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. I'm going to do a couple of thank yous, and that's to all of you for listening in. Especially to my friends who listen in. You guys are like the best. I appreciate all of your friendships. And I ain't thanking the Pope. Why would I thank the Pope?
I don't know. You're not going to thank everybody. Thank the Pope.
I will say this, though. It's kind of controversial and everything. But all the popes in the past have had all these grand gold chairs and everything and all this opulent jewelry and all this. Look, the current pope we have right now actually changed all that. His chair that he sits on for mass and to receive visitors and everything, it's just a simple white chair now, not a big gold one. His robes aren't adorned with gold and everything. And his, apparently, he said to people in regards to it is that, why should we go on about helping the poor and all this lot? Yeah, us as the priests and the Pope and everything are living in opulence and having all this gold and stuff. So, you know, there is something to be said about the current Pope who's, you know, now running the Catholic Church. At least he's doing that. Now, this is so good. The other thing that people I'd like to thank is my long-suffering partner, AJ, and my son, Robert, for putting up with the wonder that is me. I love you both very, very much. We may have our arguments and stuff at times, but for my son, it's because I know he's so much capable of doing better, and I want him to succeed and not going into a little punk-ass stuff like we've seen around. And I know I nag on you at times, Trilly, but better I nag than ignore. Yeah, would you rather I ignored you? Ignoring you would mean that I don't really give a damn that you're here. Well, I don't. So full of it.
Don't
do
that. If you are.
That's their problem. Makes our wedding guest list that much shorter and cheaper.
What's going on? Somebody sucking my dick or am I getting $1,000?
But anyway. I'm sorry, it's pie really well. Yeah, but even though I'm not from over here, I am thankful for all the blessings that I've had since coming over here. And even though things have been tough, you know, you do what you can and you get through it, and we did. We're now in our own home with our own bedroom door. Yee! Don't have to deal with assholes. Well, not assholes in our home anyway. That's different. Yeah, but we're not dealing with assholes in our home is what I'm on about. We're not living with assholes. So now I'm going to play a song that is dedicated to one of my wonderful friends, somebody who I love dearly, who is also going to be one of my bridesmaids when we get married. And she's coming all the way in from Boston to be here for it. So this is for my Cora.
Well, it's a time to play. It's a whipping day. I wait for it to hold you round. Those are marshmallow.
the arms of the evergreen tree. And the sun is red like a pumpkin head. It's shining so your nose won't freeze. All the world is your snowball. See how it grows. And that's how it goes whenever it snows. The world is your snowball just for a song. So get out and push it along. Yeah, it's a yum, yummy world made for sweethearts. You take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar thing. Why the spring is late. And in winter it's a marshmallow world.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter. When the snow comes to cover the ground.
It's a time for play. It's a whipped cream day. I wait for it the whole year round.
Woo, woo. Those are marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen tree.
And the sun is red like this pumpkin head. It shines so your nose won't freeze. All the world is your snowball. See how it glows. That's how it goes. Whenever it snows, the world is your snowball just for a song. Get out and roll it along.
It's a yum, yummy world made for sweethearts. Take a while for your favorite girl. It's a sugar date. What if spring is late? In winter, it's a marshmallow world.
Let me talk. Let me talk. Let it rain. Let me talk. Come on.
Hey, hit the floor, hit the floor. Next thing you know,
If that's it, I could actually dance to that song next week. Because I've already got the apple bottom jeans, as you know.
Right.
Next week I'll have the, not only will I have the apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur, the whole house is looking at her,
yeah.
She hit the floor, next thing you know, she went, ow, wow, 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 wow,
no,
wow.
No, no,
no,
you gotta get it right. She hit the pole. Fell down the floor. It's going, oh, no, 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 no. Ow!
Okay. AJ's obviously talking about his stripper days where he was on the pole and he fell off. You could be a stripper for me. Come on, I'll pay you. Come on, shake that thing, boy. Yeah, doggies, close your eyes. And Robert. But anyway, tomorrow I have to take Robert to see his dad for Thanksgiving, and his dad's kind enough to take us out for lunch, which means that I do not have to endure most of the Packers game. Selena Gomez apparently is singing at halftime. Friend of ours, James, is very happy about that. He's a big Selena Gomez fan. Yeah, or I can give him credit where credit's due, though. He's not just one of these guys who likes somebody and then moves on. He has liked her from since Wizards of Waverly Place or whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though we've all kind of thought he was a bit strange at times, but hey.
Right.
Now, to quote my friend Cora, apparently we're getting married. Did you know that? Because you asked me to marry you.
Right.
So I think we need to have a marry you song.
Oh, that's what you were.
So that's why we will play this.
Wake up and you wanna break up, that's cool.
Okay, we are back. So this is going to sound very strange coming from, well, I suppose not really coming from me because I say some strange things. But this is me letting go of something. As some of you people who listen know, I went through a lot of crap with a bunch of people online. I was accused of being a fake, using the money that I get from Maddie's memory to fund myself, pay my bills, etc. And those people caused me a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. But out of their actions, a lot of really good friendships were formed. And for that, I just want to thank them for it because they showed me who true friends really are. And I'm not saying this to be obnoxious or be sarcastic or anything. I am grateful to them. Because without them, I really wouldn't have found the wonderful bunch of friends who I have now. And I'm all for, like, now letting things go into the past. We need to just, I can't live the rest of my life worrying about these people. They can do what they want and worry about what they want, but that's not for me. So I also want to forgive them for their actions as well. They're never going to come forward and apologize for the things they've done and the things they've said. I know that. But I do forgive them for what they've done. For some people, it was just a case of following the herd, so to speak. And I was guilty of that. I raised my hand, but I've made amends with those people who I did treat like crap. And I've apologized. I've spoken with those people at length over it. But for, you know, everybody else who was involved in what I would call basically an online beatdown, that I do forgive you for the things that you said, the things that you have done, because I'm not going to live my life from one day more taking any of that with me into the future. Life's too short and too damn precious to, you know, listen to that and to have to deal with that. You know, people need to realize that your family is more important than anything else, than any pettiness. And at the end of the day, what are you going to do? You know, shout at me with your cat blocks on. You can say what you like. You can do what you like. I know that, you know, you feel the right of entitlement to do those things. Well, that's up to you. But from now on, I'm not going to let you destroy anything else and any more of what I've worked so hard for. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, you're going to believe what you like. You're going to say what you like. And I will forgive you. I forgive you, and I'm moving on from it. So that's all I have to say. And we're going to actually move on because now that Thanksgiving is upon us tomorrow, it leads us into... Well, we've pretty much done what we're thankful for. I'm thankful for the roof over our heads, finally, for my family, for my wonderful friends. For the fact that, you know, then go and tell him something. Don't do that. I'm going to play a song and then I'll be back.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a fool boy, I need no sympathy.
Okay, we are back. So with Thanksgiving tomorrow and everything, as I say, after that comes Christmas. which brings, I know, I get excited, but then not excited about Christmas. I'd probably be more excited about it if I was in England with my family, because they do Christmas big. I'm not on about gifts or anything, but just celebrating all together and making everybody feel like they're part of the family. So it does get a little bit lonely at times. But this song, you can always tell in England when Christmas is coming, because this song is always played. So I'm going to play it for you. It's from the 70s, so you have to bear with me. And I'm not sure if many people in the States actually heard it, but this is big in England, and it still is.
There is boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
May not enslave us, and love may reign once more.
So as we come to the end of the show, I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, and that you spend it with the people who you love and who mean a lot to you. And we will catch you all next week. And I'm just looking for a song to play us out with. Yep, that will do. So we will see you all next week.
Cutter!